It is Zashvall Things Dentistry, the place where we're passionate about sharing those unwritten hints and tips of dentistry. Well, welcome to the podcast. This is your first time here, welcome. This is a very different experience. If you've seen my stuff on YouTube or Instagram or TikTok, this is really a place where we talk about kind of the real life things in dentistry. And this is take three. And it's funny because I'm driving back to my home. A little bit of my life. I have four children and I live about an hour and a half away. So I'm commuting back and forth every second day. And today, my daughter Kate had hockey tryouts. So hockey is in the tryouts are spring now. It never ends, but it's great. So she did well. If you're actually wondering, she's 10 years old and this summer, I'm moving back to the same city, so enough of the commute, which is great. So I'm recording this around 11:30 at night, and I tell you that because I should not have any interruptions to the podcast, because the first interruption was a phone call, then the second one, my microphone died because I'm using a wireless little microphone. Technology's made such a difference, and that's kind of why I'm recording it again. And it's phenomenal. So let's dive into the case I've talked about two times already. So now you're getting a really abbreviated version. And it's about separated file removal. And I was able to get a 4.5 millimeter piece of wavelength gold out of a mesolingual canal of tooth number 36 this morning. And yeah, it was a great feeling, you know, like accomplished. But the real question is, did I need to do that? And I'll hopefully be able to answer that. I don't know, but maybe I'll be able to answer it by the end of this. And my foray into separate instruments is my foray into essentially everything dentistry-wise, because as you know, if you're a clinician, you do the same monkey business all day long, and then you think, I want to try something a little more challenging. Not so much challenging where my confidence is completely stolen and crushed, driven over 5 times by a huge bus. Maybe just taken away for 30 seconds and I get it back. And I love endo, and it's pretty much a lot of what I do, although I have an implant placement tomorrow morning. Endo is really, I can I wasn't always like this, even after residency, but now I can sit down and pretty much kind of finagle through almost everything, except for broken files. I have to think about it. And I wanted to kind of go through the thought process, and I was actually literally just kind of watching before I started driving Yoshi Tarochi, that's a Japanese endodontist, I'm sure you know who he is, who does broken file removal, just like, you know, I mean, just magnet, it's just like a magnet, sucks the file right out of there. And I've been watching his videos, not so much recently, but 4 or 5 years ago, in awe, and like, I need to learn how to do this. The catch is, I really don't want to go do one of his courses right now. The other catch is, I can't get that file separation ultrasonic tips in Canada. They're not approved by Health Canada. So that kind of like throws a wrench into things, doesn't it? But I think I've figured out a workaround. It's taken a few years. And a lot of it was done with extracted teeth. So let me go through, and the reason why I'm talking about this is because it kind of highlights some of these things you can learn on your own, but the easiest way to do it is with extracted teeth. So what had happened was a few things you need. One is obviously an ultrasonic unit, and I have one, but then you also need the tips, and most of them are like stainless steel, or I don't know what they're made of, but they're stiff as a board and you can't bend them. In all of Tarochi's videos, they have these bent, crazy bent in different like wave-like forms of these ultrasonic tips. And whenever I go to bend one, it breaks. If you use ultrasonic tips, you know, like they're pretty brittle. Then I found, and I've been trying a whole bunch of different variations, and then I saw, even again, he takes a brownie point for like polishing metals, and flattens one of his, or resharpens one of his katana blades that he uses. And I'm like, what is going on here? So I think it was by accident, of course. I noticed that Dentsply makes these titanium ultrasonic tips, and they bend. And I think it was, I'm trying to think quickly about how did I realize they bent? Probably because I had some sterilized and the damn things bent, but they didn't break. I was like, you just bend it back. I'm like, oh, still works. Interesting. Obviously, if it's a 90 degree bend, it's going to break. So that was a number of years ago. And then what I started doing was taking a brownie point and just polishing the end flat like a blade. And I'm like, oh, I can bend it and I can make this blade that he shows how to use. Like, this is interesting. So I had some success with extracted teeth, and then it was really hard and I just gave up at some point. I guess it's not working. But then what I did was I combined a technique from years before. Because they always talk about a staging platform, especially Ruddle, they talk about a staging platform using ultrasonic. But they didn't really use ultrasonics in the proper way, in the way that Yoshi Tarochi uses them. It's kind of like trough around, make a big hole, and hopefully the damn thing pops out. He, on the other hand, does some staging platforms, some not, but he uses EDTA, and he uses the idea of getting into the inner curve of the file in the canal and creating space by removing dentin judiciously. Oh yeah, that was a fancy word at 11:30 at night. Judicious removal of dentin on the inner wall of where the file's fractured. And then, you know, you kind of do like little pecks, and you hear this pulsating like pss, 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 kind of motion. It's really, and that took me a while to figure out because, you know, a handpiece, you're used to hitting the gas and boom, that's that. This pulsing thing is very different. And it's weird because the pedal goes, makes a big clank, 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 clank. And the machine's going, pss, pss, pss. So that's a really weird kind of combination. And then the liquid using, I ordered some silicone many years ago, but I still can't figure out what silicone liquid he's talking about. I'm sure I could go to Canadian Tire and get some, but I don't think that's really approved in Canada. So, but we use EDTA, so you can use that, so I use that. So this morning, there was a file that was fractured in the mesiolingual canal, this 3-6, and it was a pretty long piece, and I was not sure that I needed to get it out. And as I thought about it, I looked at the cone beam, goes around a curve, and it was really hard to tell, because of the curve of the root, if both buccal mesial canals join. Turns out they do, but I think it's not very much. Kind of like a little cave at the end, and then they have separate portals of exit. I don't know, it's hard to tell. And if you're listening, you're like, how can it be hard to tell you have a cone beam? Well, the thing is that when you slice and dice these images, especially if you're looking for the coronal section, because the root is curved, you don't get the whole root in the image. So you're kind of like inferring that, oh, and making different angles and trying different ways to try to figure out how that root, the anatomy of the root. Now, normally it's not an issue, but I'd say like in 20% of cases, it's kind of hard to figure out like if they really meet. And even after you got the file out and do the gutta percha test, gutta percha in one canal, file in the other, it doesn't really mark the other gutta percha. So I think they both come together. And they both come together. I can sit here and say it probably is prudent. I'm going to say it anyways. It's probably prudent that I did remove that file. But one of the patient's chief complaints after this file was fractured is that she would have a weird spontaneous pain here and there. It wasn't like debilitating, just this weird spontaneous pain, which to me either elicits that it's a cracked tooth. Now the access, it was done somewhere else and it was just hogged out. It's crazy how big the access, I mean, it was barely, you know, stored tooth. So now they have this huge access. But moreover, I don't think it's a fractured tooth now. I think it's just there's some tissue left the apical part of that mesiolingual canal that's just kind of flaring up and causing some issues. So that's why I decided to tackle this. And I had some confidence, but not a lot, but had definitely determination. So figure out the length from the cone beam, figure out how far it was from the cusp, then did the access and did a staging platform like gait splitting, and then proceeded to bend this number six Pro Ultra titanium ultrasonic tip, number six, shorter. It's a beautiful mauve color, purple. And what I mistakenly did was I started, without putting in the handpiece, started filing, bending, and then assuming I knew kind of the angle. I mean, I had an idea what the angle is to put the file ultrasonic tip into the canal and then down in the inner curve, and started filing and polishing the end to flatten it. Now, the problem with that is that until you put the tip in the handpiece and put it in the canal, it's hard to gauge where the angle is going to be, because you have to, in some cases, I've had issues just getting that curve into the canal just because of the patient's opening or whatnot. So if you're going to do this, even if you do it on extracted teeth, you can't gauge, it's really hard to gauge the angulation of putting the handpiece in. So you really need to do it in a patient's mouth to figure out the angulation. So it makes it a little bit easier to then determine what side of this round cylinder of a tip that you're going to start polishing and bending. So that's one of the pieces of advice. And then the second one is trying to figure out what the power setting is on the damn machine. So for the initial kind of like pecking away, making space, I was at like 2 or 3. And then at some point I was kind of like, well, let's try to see if this thing will pop out of here, like 20 minutes later. And I cranked it up to about 5. And of course the issue is breaking tips and actually eating away the tip. I've done that where I had the power setting too high and just slowly melts away the, melting's not the right word, just kind of erodes the tip away. So it's kind of annoying with the different power settings. So it's a very detail oriented technique, and I love it. Because honestly, when that 4.5 millimeters of file came flying out, I'm like, dang, that's amazing. You'll kind of feel like a hero for like 30 seconds, 10, 15, maybe. Okay, fine, 5. And then you're on to the next challenge. But it is a technique that needs to be practiced, especially on extracted teeth, to figure out what to do and the instruments you need to do. So after that, we finished the endo, and that's that. But one of the things I wanted to talk about, well, which I talked about before, but that, of course, I got erased, was why that file broke. And I think the issue is 100% glide path management. And 4.5 millimeters of a file is huge. I mean, the cross-sectional diameter of that file is probably about, like, I estimated maybe a 50. And if you've ever taken, I understand that nickel titanium is a different metal than stainless steel, but if you took a stainless steel file, tried to bend it, I mean, it's pretty thick. Like a K file is pretty damn thick, and that's the same with a wave and gold file at that cross section. So what that tells you is that glide path and lubrication, irrigation just not managed well. I get it, the brand new dentist. It's not even that. It's just kind of understanding that, like, irrigation, recapitulation, re-irrigate. The thing that I remember Cliff Ruddle saying over and over and over again, and I didn't really pay attention to it, but it's always been in the back of my mind, where it's irrigate, so you do your cleaning and shaping, whatever you're doing. And I think the issue really also is when to irrigate. You know, it's not that efficient to irrigate if you haven't opened the cone tooth. Like, I'll say, for example, you open, do your endo access, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, I'm going to start taking K files down to length. Well, sure, but you can irrigate all you want, but not a lot of that irrigant's actually getting down to where you need it to. You need to open up the coronal two-thirds, you know, I mean, of molars and premolars, I mean, central incisors and canines, this is not that big of a deal because it's pretty wide open already for the most part. Like these molar cases of premolars, you know, you need to open the coronal two-thirds, flush all that debris out of there, and then start working on your, you know, your glide path and working length, and then small hand files, and then as you start to get more enlarge in that apical part, towards the apical part with more rotary files, then you can start more effectively irrigating. And I think if I recall back in dental school, I'm just irrigating all the time, not even knowing what the hell I'm doing, not even getting close to the apical part. So really that you can, I guess what I'm trying to say is I can pay lip service to the irrigate, recapitulate, re-irrigate, but if I'm only doing that and I haven't even done any kind of opening with my hand, with my rotary files, I mean, I'm just wasting my time. So it's being much more kind of precise, but not more intentional. That's the word. More intentional with when am I irrigating and why am I irrigating? And seeing how this massive chunk of file was broken really lends me to think like coronal two-thirds may not have been open. There's definitely not enough irrigant down there. And certainly there's no glide path. I mean, and arguably, I don't even use a glide path with my yellow, and especially in curved canals. I mean, I'm just, it's making its own glide path. So, but I'm doing that in little pecks, and then I add some more EDTA. EDTA, as there's a little, like a little bowl for the EDTA to sit in, and then slowly kind of make my way down. That's especially if I can't get hand files anywhere. That file is just nuts. Anyways. That's my story of the file removal. I've got probably about 10 or 15, 20, let's go to 20 under my belt now. Successful, painfully long, not 5 minutes, I wish, but got some under my belt, so I feel a little more confident. Anyways, I'm grateful you're here, and we'll talk to you soon. Cheers.